Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, everyone. If we can get everyone in from the foyer, welcome to Anointing Sunday. We're doing things a little bit different today, but come on in. I want to share with you before we kick off. You know, in a moment, we're going to start to praise God. And if you're new here, you're welcome. You've come on a really special day in the life of our church. Today, we're going to anoint every family member, every person that wants prayer for 2024. And this week, as I've been seeking God, we've been sort of wrapping up our prayer and fasting, our 21 days of prayer and fasting today. And this week, I was reading a story. It's about a king of Judah. His name's Jehoshaphat. And he gets news that enemies are coming his way. They're coming to destroy him. The numbers way outweigh his kingdom and his army forces. And the first thing he does with the people, he actually calls a fast. He says, we need to pray and fast because the enemies are on our tail. And then it says in 2 Chronicles 24:22, after they fasted, it says this, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. This is the guy who leads people into worship, a Levite. And this Levite, this priest says, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. The Lord will be with you. The positioning of this king, though, I love it. He was a war man. He was a warrior. But it says this, then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. It goes on further in verse 21. It says this, and when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Understand this king, before going into battle, he sends in the praise. He sends in the praise. He's like, you're going in first. You're going to praise God first. And the heart attitude was simply this, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Understand, position your heart, give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. He's going to go before us, get fired up. By the time they get to the battle, the enemies get confused and they turn on each other and destroy each other. All of them wiped out without one man in Judah have to pick up a sword. Why? Because praise was the beginning. Praise was the beginning. And this week, as I was thinking of 2024, I was thinking, you know, you might have all sorts of enemies ahead of you, battles ahead of you, fights ahead of you. And I'm like, yeah, we can be like, Lord, help us. That's fine. But you know what God wants? He wants our heart of praise. I thank you, God, you've already gone there. I thank you, God, you've already won the battle. I thank you, God, you've already brought the provision. I thank you, God, because you are good. I thank you, God, that in every season, in every situation, you are for me and not against me. And so this morning, as we kick off this service, we're not going to get into a place of help me. We're going to get into a place of praise that says, God, I thank you for everything you have done. I thank you for everything you're going to do. I thank you your Holy Spirit has anointed me. And God, with your power, I will see breakthrough in this year. And so we're going to praise. We're going to praise later on. We're going to pray for every member to be anointed with that same Holy Spirit power, to be able to walk into this year with confidence. But we're going to praise right now. So if you want to get out of your seat, you can. But we're going to praise God this morning and know that God is for us. He's not against us. Let's worship. Let's worship. Come on. Holy Jesus, may you come today. As we look at your anointing, we look at why this is so significant as followers of you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will set us up for 2024, that we'll be victorious in everywhere we go. God, that you will go before us, that your Spirit would rest upon us, that your gracious hand would be upon us. God, would you speak today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you can take a seat wherever you are. I'm not going to take up much time this morning. Hey, we've got seats coming out. We've got some seats down the front here, James, if you're looking for seats. Always a good problem to have, hey? Hey, welcome to Anointing Sunday. I have no doubt that today could be the most significant day of this year for you. The church has never been flooded in so much prayer. If you didn't know, over the last 48 hours, we've had a prayer room happening up at the top. Who's been part of that? We know, I think there's been over 70 people that have taken out time in the last 48 hours to pray for you, your families, for the church, for the city of the Redlands. The reality is the anointing of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do what we're created to do for God's glory. In fact, the Holy Spirit, with the anointing, we have an unfair advantage. And I want to share quickly a little story in the Bible about the anointing and what the anointing does. Because today, every person here, and maybe you're new to church and you're like, this is a bit weird. We're actually going to give you a chance to get prayed for. We're going to have a prayer team later on in the service. We're going to ask you to go grab your kids as well to come and get prayed for. But we're actually going to anoint you with oil. It represents the Holy Spirit, a covering for you, a washing for you. But I talk about a young man that gets anointed. And we're going to go to Samuel, 1 Samuel 16 to 10. The story is that King Saul, the spirit has actually departed from him. He loses his anointing because of disobedience. It's a pretty crazy story. And Samuel, who's a priest, gets told, you need to go and anoint a new king. And you might have heard the story. Samuel goes to a guy named Jesse and he calls out all his sons. He says, one of your sons is going to be the new king. And he goes through seven of those sons. And Jesse's like, none of those. They might look strong. They might look the part, but there's something wrong with these boys. You got another son somewhere? Oh, there's one of our young kids, the youngest one. He's out in the field looking after the sheep. Go get him. And we pick up the story right here. And it says, Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. He's talking about the other brothers. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all the sons here? And he said, no, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And it says this, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. Because of the anointing, something unlocks in David's life. In fact, in verse 14, we find that King Saul, who has no idea who this kid David is tormented and he needs help. It says this, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's servant said to him, behold now, a harmful spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord now command your servants who are before you, seek out a man who is skillful in playing the lyre. And when the harmful spirit from God is upon you, he'll play it and you'll be well. We know that this guy was being tormented by the devil. They didn't know that. So Saul said to the servants, provide for me a man who can play well and bring him to me. One of the young men answered, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me David, your son, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by David and his son Saul to And David came to Saul and entered his service. And Saul loved him greatly and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, let David remain in my service, for he has found favor in my sight. And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him. I want to have a quick look at this story and understand a couple of things, what the anointing does in your life. First and foremost, when you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it opens doors that are impossible for man to close. David was in the field. He had no idea what was going on behind the scenes, but the Holy Spirit calls him. The Holy Spirit calls him into the palace, into the presence of the king. How incredible is that? This kid that's probably never ever thought of this, all of a sudden he's in places he never thought he could go. And in 2024, God can do that too in your life. When you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, don't be surprised when that promotion comes. Don't be surprised when you find yourself in places of influence where people go, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something on your life. I just want you to be in my presence. People who have no idea about God, but they see it on you and they want to be around you. The anointing opens doors that God, no man can shut. The other thing about the anointing that we see is that David has this anointing on his life with worship. He sets the king free of his oppression, like this oppression. Think about that, that when you are anointed, the friends and family in your life, they can be set free because of the presence you have on you. Maybe you already had this situation. I just want you to come and sit with me. I don't know what it is about you, but come and sit with me. I feel peace. I remember last year, my Uncle Bruce, he'd say it all the time. I just want to sit in your lounge room, Beck and Naz. There's something about your place. I love sitting in your house. I love sitting in your garden. Why? It's the Holy Spirit. People are drawn to the Holy Spirit and drawn to those who have the Holy Spirit with them. They're not drawn to religion. They're drawn to a real God that can actually be their answer to set them free. You know, it's the same anointing that David had that gave him the ability to defeat Goliath in the very next chapter. 1 Samuel 17, the story of David and Goliath. This same ruddy kid has the anointing on him and he defeats Goliath. But I want to point this out to you because this week it kind of stood out to me, something really, really powerful. I always thought that the stories were back to front. I always had this thought that he defeats David and Goliath, and later on Saul, you know, he gets depressed and that's when David plays to him. And I always thought that David met Saul when he came to defeat Goliath. Wrong. Saul knew David. He knew him as a worshiper. Understand this. Before David was a warrior, he was a worshiper. He brought praise first. He worshipped God first. His anointing was worship, and then it stepped into warrior, which stepped into his destiny. Today, we're going to anoint each and every one of you. As I said, the anointing gives you a supernatural edge in your life over your enemies, in your families, in your communities, and each and every one of you can have it. It's a free gift. It's amazing. Back then, the anointing was only for those that were special, ones that God had set apart and called out. But we know through Jesus' death and resurrection, when he left his Holy Spirit, that all could be anointed. Talk about multiplication. Each and every person here can have the anointing. You know, this week we finished this time of prayer and fasting. It's significant that today is Anointing Sunday. It's been a test for many. In fact, I've had more conversations with people this week that have been going through hell than ever before. That are praying and fasting. They're doing the work and they're getting smacked. In fact, I had a couple of conversations. They're like, if this is fasting, I don't want it. I'm never going to fast again. But what I probably didn't set you up for is fasting's a test. Fasting is a time of testing. And this week I was reminded that Satan never showed up more than in the time when Jesus fasted. Jesus is doing a spiritual discipline. Satan shows up more than ever before. Why? Because he's being strengthened and he's now a threat. It's time to overcome. In 2024, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, when it comes to following Jesus, may we stand our ground through the test. You have the Holy Spirit that can help you get through. In your own strength, you won't do it, but with God, you can. Understand this throughout 2024, no matter what you go through. Understand this, you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. He doesn't say you were happy till you died. In fact, it says you're more than a conqueror. In other words, you have to go through some stuff. You're now a threat to the enemy. But you don't need to worry about it. You don't have to fear about it. Romans 8, 31 to 38. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is one who condemns? No one. Hey, if you felt condemnation, no one. No one condemned. Christ does not condemn you. Christ, who died more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. If you didn't hear this today, you're going through hell. Get this. Jesus is at the right hand of God. He is praying for you. He is praying for you. Don't quit. Don't tap out. Don't walk away. Keep fighting. I'm with you. I'm for you. Christ is interceding for us. 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, danger or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, as we anoint you and your family, understand you're being anointed to be appointed for a task in 2024, to bring glory to Jesus in the Redlands, to see revival break out in the Redlands. Whatever 2024 throws at you, know Jesus is for you. He's not against you. He loves you. You can never escape his love. There's going to be trials and challenges, but through those trials and challenges, he wants to grow your spiritual being. He wants you to be a better man at the end of this year than you ever were before because you put your trust and faith in Jesus. The psalmist writes in Psalm 66, this is after the Israelites have gone through the Red Sea. They've escaped Egypt. They've been oppressed for so many years. They've seen the plagues and then miracle after miracle. It's been split. They're on the other side. They don't know what's coming ahead, but they know where they've come from. And the psalmist writes, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For God tested us. You refined us like silver. You've been through the fire. You've been refined. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our back. They were slaves for 400 years, but we went through fire and water, but you brought us to the place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. The response is, I'll find myself in your house and I'll be obedient to your word. I'm here to praise you. Today, as we set up another year, we're going to anoint you with this power of the Holy Spirit to be with you and your families. Whatever you face, whatever you go through, you're an overcomer in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. We're going to pray a blessing over every one of you as you go, that we know that God is for you. He goes before you. No matter what comes against you, you are victorious. God's going to open doors that aren't possible with man. He's going to set you up in places that will set those around you free from their oppression. And he will do what only he can do through you when you're on mission for him. Right now, what we're going to do, we're actually going to pray. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a couple of more worship songs, actually. But this is what I want to say to you. When we start singing, you can go and grab your kids. Don't get your kids from Kids Church. Come back in into this space of worship. If you want to just worship for a while, feel free. But we're going to have a team of a prayer team here anointing you with holy oil, actually from the Holy Land, this oil. It's been blessed. It's significant as well. It might seem like a bit of a gimmick. No, it's not a gimmick. It's God's chosen people. We've been grafted into that chosen people. We're going to pray for you. We're going to worship this morning. When you've been prayed for, when you've had your moment, you feel free to go, or you feel free to sit in the presence of God. Sometimes when we just sit still, God speaks the loudest. I'm going to pray right now. Then we're going to stand, we're going to worship. If you want to go grab your kids, you can. But I'm going to pray for 2024. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I thank you with your anointing, all things are possible. Through Christ who strengthens us, your Holy Spirit is our guide, our counsel, our strength. God, we thank you that you provide it for us as your followers. We're not alone. You're with us everywhere we go. Jesus, I pray for Beacon that this week, this year, every day, every hour, may we bring you glory through the way that we live. May we shine bright in this community. God, we pray for the prodigals. We pray for the names that we wrote down just a couple of weeks ago. Again, we lift them up to you. Those that are lost, who don't know you, Jesus. God, bring them home. May our impact and our influence in their world, may they see Jesus when they see us, shine brighter than ever before. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.